scavengers has got out of the boat. A man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?"
"My name is Legion, for we are many."
Start this morning, just want to tell everybody how much we love you. So if you don't love me when I'm done, I still love you. Satan and his demons. For the next 2 weeks, that's what we're going to be talking about. And you might say, "Well, Deborah, why 2 weeks? Whoa." Well, I was going to try to pack it in, cram it into 1 week. And Judy and I were talking about it, and it's just so much. There's going to be so many things said that many of you have never heard. I was afraid if I tried to get it packed in and not explain it good well enough that what would happen is I would confuse you. And so I'm going to take 2 weeks to do it. I think the first week, this week, we're going to be talking about Satan and his demons concerning how demons operate with the power of Satan. And then next week, which is probably when I'll say the most things you've never heard before, I'm going to be dealing with from where Satan and demons came, and as far as also dealing with how we struggle against and battle against those things. So, what about demons? What about them? Are they supernatural? Okay. If they're supernatural, then if the church is supposed to be the supernatural force in the earth, why doesn't the church instruct us concerning these things? Why do we leave it up to Hollywood to teach us about the supernatural stuff? Why does the church avoid it? Or is there something that you need to know concerning this that the enemy doesn't want you to know? I want to ask you, why doesn't the church do a better job of this? Again, it's that pendulum thing. You know, you got this pendulum thing swinging. It goes way over here to where everything's a demon. You know, you get really weird. You tie people in chairs. You make them puke in buckets. You do all this crazy stuff. You yell and you scream at them. Now, who wants that? You know? And so the pendulum then swings all the way back to the other side where there are no demons today. I see people fanning. Can we cut the heat off? This goes way back over here to where there's no demons, there's no evil spirits. They went out with the apostles or whatever, you know. They drowned or I don't know what people think. The only thing worse than this, being over here where everything is a demon, is to being over here where there are none. Because if you're over here, you've done exactly what the scriptures tell us not to do, which is you're not sober, you're not vigilant, you're not walking about being careful of the roaring lion who's walking about seeking whom he may devour. So we got to get some place where we understand this thing. And so what I want to do is I want to talk about it. It's that pendulum problem. So what I want to do is look at a couple of stories that Jesus experienced that are written for us in the scriptures and that we can learn from them. So I want to look at these Bible stories and I want you to see with me if demons relate with today.
Mark chapter 5 verse 1 says this: "They," Jesus and his disciples, "went across the lake to the region of Gennesaret. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with," and I want to make emphasis on with "an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had been chained hand and foot. He had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him." Jesus came face to face with a human being, but this human being was with an evil spirit. Now, that's interesting terminology. The man and the evil spirit accompanied one another. Demons need a person to function with at full potential. And a person with an evil spirit welcomes, accepts, and invites the presence of that evil spirit. You actually wonder if the evil spirit or the demon has the person or if the person has the evil spirit. The possessed person has a love relationship with the evil spirit. This is the reason it's difficult, so difficult, to free the person from the spirit. Now, this sad human being lived in the tombs. And the Greek word here means a place of internment. In those days, of course, people frequently buried their loved ones in tombs. Now, this man lived among the dead. Now, that's strange. Well, what would you think about somebody who lived in a cemetery? Strange, right? Every person possessed with an evil spirit in the Bible is obviously strange with a darkness. It's not difficult to realize something is very strange when around a evil spirit or a demon. It's dark. Now, let's make this relevant as we can for today, using a person, let's say, with a spirit of lust or homosexuality. He or she is in love with that thing. It goes with them every place. They're never separated from it. Once, many years ago, 30 plus years ago now, I went into a store and there were two men standing outside the store as I walked in. Obviously to me, these men were gay men. And they looked me up and down and began grunting. It was then I realized what you women experience. They followed me into the store and around the store grunting. They loved that lustful feeling. They didn't care how foolish they looked or sounded or who saw them. It was a spirit with them, and they loved that spirit. It gave them strange pleasure. It made them feel good. Can anyone relate to something in my story or the story about Jesus today? I mean, something darkly strange about a person, but that person loved that darkly strange thing. This evil spirit gave the man abnormal strength. People could not subdue him, the Bible said. You have seen times, I'm sure, when a situation required several people to hold someone down until they could drug the person. Abnormal strength. Mark chapter 5, verse 5 says this, night and day, I want you to get this now, among the tombs and the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. You heard about, or maybe you've known people and probably know people who cut their own bodies. Now, this is an important point. If this happens to someone you know and love, it's serious. Don't play it off. That person has an evil spirit with them. Cutting oneself is as common today, though, as it was 2,000 years ago. Have you ever thought or asked a person who did such a thing as that, cut themselves, what possessed you to cut yourself? See what I mean? Mark chapter 5, verse 6 says, when he saw Jesus from a distance, he, singular, ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, what do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me. For Jesus had said to him, come out of this man, you evil spirit, singular. Then Jesus asked him, what is your name? My name is Legion, he replied, for we are many. The evil spirit, singular, became a legion, became many. Now, this is normal in these situations. One evil spirit brings more. It begins with one disorder and then another disorder and then more disorders. A possessed person has many, many disorders. It's not one problem. It's a legion now of problems. We could say it begins with one oppression and moves to possession. Can you relate that to today? Do you know anyone that began with a disorder, but now has many, many disorders? Think. I'm sure you do. The person began to act strange, then stranger, and then the person is acting strange all the time. So I want to ask you a question. Are demons and evil spirits around today? Of course, they are.
The thing that I really wanted you to get out of that video now is that the evil spirit was with the person. The person was with the evil spirit. The person with an evil spirit loves the spirit, loves that evil thing. And the evil spirit has to have the person to function. I want you to get that. Now, there's something here I really want you to see. It's extremely important to understanding the supernatural dimension, okay? Look with me at Mark chapter 5 and verse 10. And he, Legion, begged. He did what? He begged Jesus again and again. How did he beg him? Again and again, over and over. Not to send him out of the what? Out of the man or out of the area? Out of the what?
Area.
It's extremely important. He didn't beg him again and again not to send him out of the man. He begged him again and again not to send him out of the area. King James Version says region. The thing has to stay in its area. We understand a lot here concerning generational curses and how something will come upon one lineage and then the children and then the children and then the children. And all through in an area, this thing keeps going on and on and on. And then finally somebody moves and they go on with life and explode and have a great life. Because it stays in an area. If we use this now and we understand something, if we're smart, if we're enlightened as we say we are, then we should be able to look at our area and see what kind of evil spirits or principalities are here. And what that means is what evil spirits that you're going to be battling with in your own personal life and what evil spirits your children are going to be battling with. This is extremely important. It gives you tremendous insight. Now, what are some of the things in this area, in the northwest corner of Georgia, the northeast corner of Alabama, and Middle Tennessee, southern Middle Tennessee, what in this area is going on? A while back, one of the things that I wasn't aware that it was this bad, but we were invited by a detective up to the Civic Center for a little seminar thing, and she was telling us, of the child molestation in this area. I had no idea it was that bad. And some of you women have experienced that. If you weren't molested as you were when you were a child, you were approached. This is bad here. Another thing that's this, I had no idea. We went to this meeting one time, and they were talking about how this region, this area, is big on producing meth. It's one of the largest meth-producing areas in the United States. Did you know that? And so drug addiction here is big. Many of you struggle with drugs. And you love it. That's why it's so difficult to get you free from it. Because you love it and it needs you. It's a tough thing. Another thing that's here in this area, and this is one that affects churches, and really, I battle with it. I really struggle here I personally battle with it, but you'll understand what I'm saying here in just a second. And it's what I call a spirit of poverty or backward thinking. Now, let me explain. Those words just don't fix it. Don't say it like I want to. So let me work here just a second. But it's an evil spirit. It's a principality that comes against change. And the way it manifests in a church, it manifests in a whole region this way. Your region fights against change. I mean, just think for a second. Ride down the street and you'll see where stores have opened and done well and then closed down. In a church, here's how it works. In a church, it pigeonholes a church. It chains or it confines the church to a pigeonhole. And it says, you got to stay in this pigeonhole. If you do anything outside of what a church is supposed to do, then you're wrong. You can meet here. You got to dress like this. You got to act like this. You got to say it this way. And if you don't, if you go beyond those boundaries, if you try to be contemporary and reach real people in real time, then you're the cult. Then you're the one that's wrong. And it battles me. It battles this church. It battles every church. And if you look around now, we hit this thing. We've hit it pretty hard. When we came here, man, we were the only one doing anything like this. Drums in church? Oh, come on! Guitars? You're kidding me! Screens? Projectors? It's okay for Walmart to expand and be contemporary. It's okay for you to have these things in your home, but you better not bring them to church. And people in this area love that thing. Am I right? They love it. And I'm the one that's a leader of a cult. And all I'm trying to do is reach real people in a real world. So, I mean, this is the way this thing works, and we struggle with it. But now, look at every church in the whole area. 20 years later, but look at them. Every single church that's doing anything is moving contemporary. They even have now services that they call our contemporary service. Drums in a Baptist church. We've done some damage. And if you look at churches, you'll see that the churches that are trying to move are beginning to grow. Growing even better than we are. But they're growing and they're moving on. Why? Because this thing is being brought down. And you're not as bad here as in some places, but even here I struggle with you sometimes. I try to change something and you don't want to change. You know, I like it like it is. I like it small. I like our group. I like our folk. I do too. But we've got to reach people. And the way you reach people in a real world is be a real church. Not a pigeonholed church. Okay? So that's what we're... And I really believe in 20 years you're going to see a dynamic change in this whole area simply because churches are beginning to lead in change rather than being pigeonholed and stopped from being changed. I really believe it. In 20 years you're going to see this whole area be changed. Different areas experience different evil spirits. Now, it's a principality. That's what the scriptures call it. It's a principality. When we first moved to this area, we felt a different depression here than we'd ever experienced before. We weren't from the area. You know how when you go on vacation, you kind of get out of town and you just kind of, whoa, this feels good. You know, I'm having fun. And you come back to town. Well, see, that thing, wherever you went, hadn't had time to get on you yet, and so you're kind of freed. And you come back, and it all starts over again. Well, that's what would happen to us. We would plan a trip. We would go somewhere to go see our folks or whatever that we would do. And it's nearly like we would get to the county line, and we'd start laughing and having fun together. And we'd come back and cross the county line, and, oh, what do you mean when you said that? And it was a strange thing, you know. One time, I think it was our 25th wedding anniversary. I'm not sure about that. I'm sure she could tell you. But anyway, we were going to go on our anniversary. We were going to Niagara Falls. And so we went up through New York. And we went up the interstate. Everything was good. We were having a big time and all this stuff. See, we get to the bay, and we look over there, and we see the Statue of Liberty. We pull over. And we get out, look at the Statue of Liberty. The towers were still there then. And we look at the Statue of Liberty. Whoa, this is big, big apple, you know. Having a good time. We go through the Hudson Tunnel. We come out, and the first thing I see, I don't know if you've ever been there, but the first thing I see, we come out, all these arrows, I'm going 40 miles, 50 miles an hour, and all these arrows, I don't know where to go. I just turn, and she says, why'd you go this way? You should have went that way. And the next thing, we get lost. We get scared. A guy even told me, don't roll your window down and talk to people here. I'm from Lafayette, Georgia. You roll your window down and talk to people. And so we get in the most horrific battle and fight. We are yelling at each other going through New York City. It was a weird thing, man. Just got on us. I'm sure you've experienced something like that. Go someplace, do something, and whoa, what is that, you know? And you experience this thing. Just a couple of weeks ago, Lance was going to be down in Atlanta, and he was going to be with Pastor Craig down there preaching at this huge church, and we wanted to see our son, and so we took off down there. And getting to this church, we had to go through this neighborhood. And we get off the interstate, go through this neighborhood. It's worse than anything around here. We go through this neighborhood, man, and we get down there early so we can, first of all, see Lance and eat. And we start getting in a fight about where we're going to eat. And we couldn't find a clean place. We drove all over the area looking for a place to eat. Had my little GPS device there poking in food places. We'd try this one. Oh, I ain't going to eat there. Ooh, I ain't going to eat there. Well, let's go out of this area. Let's see if we can go down the interstate a little further. Get on the interstate. Next exit, maybe, half a mile away. We get off, totally different spirit. Man, everything's beautiful. The world's great again. And we go in a totally different spirit. These things get over neighborhoods. These things get over cities. These things get over families. And they like an area. And this is a big, big thing when you're trying to deal with this stuff and understand how demonic activity works and how they work under the power of Satan. Now, I'm really working hard not to get spooky spiritual on you, okay? I'm working hard here. But you've got to make sure you realize this stuff is real. It's real. And the more you understand, the better you're going to be able to defend yourself and defend your family. So I want you to know this. And leaving the area won't fix it. You're just going to move to another principality. So understand that as well. So if you were to move, if you go to someplace else, find out what the crime rate's about there. What happens in that area? What is the principality there? Then that way you'll know what to guard yourself against and you'll know what to guard your children against. But there is a principality over every area. Ask you a question. You read the rest of that chapter, you find out that the demon actually made a deal with Jesus to not be cast out of the area, but cast into some pigs. Remember the story. What did the pigs do? What did they do? They ran off a cliff and drowned, right? Did those spirits drown? Why did those pigs drown? What happened there? Drown those pigs so they could get busy again finding some more people. But they're still in the area. The spirits didn't drown. Yeah, I do too. Now I need to share this point. I wish so, honey. I need to share this point while I'm on it. I told you that when we came to this area, we experienced an evil spirit that we had never experienced before. And it was a few years into the ministry that the Lord revealed it to me as to what it is. And so I'm going to tell you about it, what the Lord revealed to me. During the Civil War, right down the street, north of us, 20 miles, in Chickamauga Battlefield, a major, major battle took place. And thousands of men died up there. You can drive through it right now, today, get out of here, drive through there, and you tell me if I'm telling you the truth or not, but you will feel something as you pass through there. Am I right? Okay, what is that? It's a supernatural presence. Okay. Now, people here, men in this area, weren't just fighting a war. It wasn't like getting on a ship and going over across the pond to Europe and fighting a war over there. They're fighting right here. They're fighting for their homes, their land, their possessions, their families. That's what they're fighting for. Totally different mentality. They're battling for their own selves, their own livelihood. And they go up there, and thousands of men from this area die there. And thousands of men that didn't die came back without an arm or without a leg, came back maimed and mauled. Now, this gave a way for a spirit to come in here, a principality. And what happened is that homes were out of order, because what happened is that women were forced to step up and take and do something. They had to run the families. They had to become the money makers. They had to become the chief laborer. They were forced to do it. They weren't doing anything wrong. They were just taking care of their family. But it got homes out of order. And it gave a place for this thing to come in. And it's a matriarch type of thing that set in. The first 10 years of this ministry, the first 10 years, I look back, every major battle that we fought in the first 10 years dealt with a very strong matriarchal woman married to a disabled man. Disabled in that manipulation disabled him, or his personality was a kind of a personality that could be powered over. Good men and good women, but yet the spirit was with them. You with me? Okay. And so this set this thing here. And so every major battle that we fought, we came against that thing. So it's still here. It's still here. We were coming back from Chattanooga, Judy and I were, and we were coming down Duke Street, And we turned right onto Dickerson, which is the street right here on the side. And as we turned, we saw a vehicle parked over here at the car wash, and it was angled backed into the car wash parking lot, but it was facing the student building. It wasn't facing this building, it was facing the student building. And we recognized the car, we recognized the driver. And she, a very powerful, matriarch-type personality woman, was sitting there, and she had her papers laying on her steering wheel. And she was looking down. She hadn't seen us yet. She was looking down at her papers, and she was reading, and then she was reading it to the academy, our school building. She would read it to it, to the building, to the academy. Now, I told the elders about it. We prayed. But you know what? No matter how I sliced that or diced that, in 2 years, the school closed. And during those 2 years, we had some horrific problems. Deborah, are you saying that she cursed the school? Or are you saying that there was a spirit with her? Oh, no. I'm just telling you, don't fool with this stuff. I'm telling you, you try to learn something from what I'm trying and attempting to share with you. Don't get way over here where there are none of these spirits. You be careful and you be ready. Delbert, do you believe there are demons today? I absolutely do. Delbert, have you ever encountered a demonic spirit? Yes, and probably much more frequently, much more regularly than I realize. And so have you. They've been in the church. They've tried to take over the church. They've tried to take over a service. I'll tell you this story. This was several years ago. We were praying at the altar, and this individual come down and began to pray for him, and he tried to puke. He wasn't sick. He was sick, but he wasn't nauseous sick. He was doing that demon thing, and he tried to vomit right here. And when that happened, I grabbed him. I was not going to let him do that in this church. I was not going to make him a spectacle. I wasn't going to give that thing a place. I got guys around me. We ushered him to the back. We ministered to him and drove out that spirit. This stuff happens. This stuff happens. And it doesn't just happen here. I honor and I protect your time. While you're here, I have you about an hour. And so I want to make it as good an hour as I want it to be the best hour of your week. And so I try to make it. And so we have what we call a service schedule. And it's packed. And everybody that gets a paper knows exactly what we're about to do. Now the reason we've done that, one of the reasons that we do that, is so that we can protect you. Because, you see, I'm not going to give a lot of fluffy time in there to give that thing a place. Because that's when that crazy stuff happens, is when you give it a place. They say, the Bible says, give no place to the devil. So I don't give it a place. People will tell me, we want the spirit to move. Well, I do too, but I don't want that spirit to move. Right? So you don't either. So I value your time. I protect your time, and I'm going to protect you while you're here. Once I was at a life group, this stuff just doesn't happen here. Once I was at a life group, in that life group settings, I really try to take a low profile. I'll sit back, and I want the leader to lead. I'm just attending, supporting, and those kinds of things. If I'm there, people want to put the questions to me. They want to ask me the questions, and I don't want to do that. I want the leader to lead. So I was sitting back at this life group meeting, and I'm sitting there and letting them talk and discuss the lesson. And so it comes time for prayer. Well, this young man who had only been here a couple of weeks at the church was at this group meeting, and he requested prayer. And so at this life group, they put a chair in the middle of the floor, and then the person would sit in it, and others would gather around him or her to pray. Well, this young man sat in the chair, and the others gathered around. I sat back, low profile, just reading my Bible and letting them minister. And so, because if I start praying, I'll take over, and I didn't want to do that. So he begins, as they begin to pray, he begins speaking in this strange, whiny voice. I don't know if I want you to pray for me. And it was a whiny little squeaky voice. And the leader's wife looks at me. She's already only about this tall anyway. And she looks at me, and her eyes about that big around. Like, what is this? I said, I just closed my Bible, lay it down, stand up. And I said, well, we have a demon with us tonight. Walked over there, laid hands on him, come out of him in the name of Jesus. Didn't ask it its name. Didn't give it a microphone. Didn't get it a bucket to puke in. I just cast the thing out of him. And he went, whew. And then he was normal. It's a lot less frightening than you think when you're dealing with this stuff. It sounds weird. It sounds scary. No, they can't. They can't. You are walking in the authority. We're going to talk about this next week, of Jesus Christ. It's not your authority. Right. It's his authority. And so you're dealing with it through him. I just want you to have some ideas about these things. I don't play with them. I don't ask them what their name is. I don't give them a microphone. I don't give them a place. I just deal with them. When I meet them, when I step out of my boat in life and I'm met by a demon, I deal with it. Okay. I want you to know what would happen here if one did show up, if that were to happen today or any day that you were here. Just so you would know. You probably wouldn't even know that it had happened. It would be, as soon as recognized, several people would gather around it. It would be ushered out the back door before it had a chance to really manifest. Now, if you let them manifest, it's going to be difficult to get it out of here without you seeing it. But if I recognize it quickly and we'll get it out of here, then we can minister to the person. And most likely, you will never know it happened. Delbert, has that ever happened? Oh yeah. And you never knew. I want to look at one more of the many situations that Jesus dealt with evil spirits. The Lord didn't give these experiences to us to read about in the Bible and say, wow, that's a cool story, that's a funny story, that's a weird story. He gave them to us to learn, right? So what I want to do is learn, so let's learn.
Mark chapter 9, verse 17 gives us another situation that Jesus encountered with an evil spirit, a demon. And this time, though, it was a child. Let me read it to you. Mark chapter 9, verse 17 says, a man in the crowd answered, teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. Possessed. That's a big word. Possessed. Greek word echo. And what it means is to hold, to have possession of, to take abilities. It means to go on and on and on and on and on like an echo. You know, think of this poor little innocent child, maybe 6, 7 years old, controlled by, held by an evil spirit. Now, demons have no mercy on your children. They will kill your children as well as try to kill you. Every sickness and bad event now is not a demon. I don't want to sound like that, but never underestimate the possibility of the presence of an evil spirit. Let's read more of the story. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered. It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for him who believes. Now, this is a very well-known and often quoted scripture. Well, at least part of the verse is quoted frequently. I want to ask you, though, something. Jesus says, if you believe, all things are possible. Believe what? What is it that you must believe? We got to look at the context here. See, the context is helping a person be freed from a demon, an evil spirit. I realize that all things are included in what Jesus said, but don't exclude the original context. We must believe that Jesus can help people be freed from demons. What do you believe? Most of us do not believe this stuff. We think this stuff is just weird. Now, this boy's dad obviously had trouble believing also. Jesus helped his unbelief, and he'll help your unbelief too.
There were several instances in the scriptures where Jesus had to minister to children who had been demonically attacked. Now, I want to just point something out. I'm not saying that this dad's lack of faith, lack of unbelief, allowed that to happen to the child. But obviously the man struggled with belief. What I'm trying to tell you is believe this stuff so that you can help your children, help yourself, but also help your children, help other people as well. Demonic evil spirits are as real today as they were 2,000 years ago. Don't ever think differently than that. What they do is go with the person. The person falls in love with it. It wants the thing. That's why it's so difficult to deliver somebody. A drug addict, they want it. A sex addict, they want it. And so it goes with them, and it's a love relationship that they have together. The demon needs to be with the person to function. The person loves the feeling that the thing gives to them. Understand that they come into areas. They're over this area. They're over every area. They're principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. They're over neighborhoods. They're over families. That's how they operate. That's how they function under Satan's power. That's how he puts them out there. You have met people with evil spirits. You have. You may have just thought they were very strange people. But how strange were they? What caused them to be strange? Can you handle them? Can you help them? Not unless you step out of the boat and it's time to. Don't go looking for demons. I had a story to tell you next time. Don't go looking for them. I said that one time. Just real fast. I'll tell you the story next time. I said that one Sunday. Next Wednesday, I'm in the emergency room with a kidney stone. Delbert, do you believe? Uh-huh. Now, I'm just telling you, don't play with this stuff. It's real. Be aware of it. Be ready for it. Know what to do with it if it happens. Realize they'll come in against you. They're going to come against your children. They'll come against your animals. Realize that their intent is to ruin you, to destroy you, and if possibly kill you. Now, next week, I'll tell you why they can't kill you. But right today, some of you right this moment are in very, very strong battles with evil spirits. Your life's being attacked. Your maybe business, maybe your family. Something's going on in your life right now, and I'm wanting you to know. But I can't just leave you there and not give you some solution to the situation. And so what I want to do is give you one more scripture. I want to tell you this, and then next week we'll talk more about it from this angle as to what we do. Now, I want you to see this, and when you put this verse up there for me, put James 4:7 up for me. But leave it up there until I start praying, please. I want to work with this verse a little bit. James 4:7 verse and through 8 says this, submit yourself then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. First thing I want you to see is that we have a formula. Now, everything is not a demon. But if it is, here's how you deal with it. Everything's not the devil. But if it is, if you'll do this, it will flee. I want you to see that. The formula is this. First of all, submit to God, and then resist the devil. Submit to God plus resist the devil equals the devil fleeing from you. I want you to see this, okay? Submit to God. Submit, therefore, unto God. How do you do that? How do you submit to God? Well, you do things God's way. You do what His Bible, what His Word tells you to do, what you know you're supposed to do. What are you supposed to do that you're not doing? Then do it. Is coming to church His will for you? Is ministering to people His will? Is praise and worship? Is reading His Word? Is praying His will? This is how you submit to God. You do what God tells you know you're supposed to do. You submit, you do things God's way. That's the first thing you do. You add to that resisting the devil. How do you resist the devil? How do you do that? When you resist the devil, that means you don't give in to it. If it's drugs, you don't give in to it. If it's pornography, you don't give in to it. Whatever that the thing's coming, you resist it, and then you begin to speak with it. Speak to it. Jesus always spoke to these things. He commanded them to leave. He took authority over them, and that's what you've got to do as a Christ follower. You have the blood of Jesus Christ. You're a child of the Most High God. You can stand against it. And you can rebuke it, you can resist it, you can speak to it, you can command it to leave you alone. Now, if you're drawing near to God, That's going to work. And then it goes on and it says, because if you continue to draw near to God, God will draw near to you as well. Now, let's be honest as we can possibly be. Probably the reason that we got in the mess to start with is because we wasn't as close to God as we should have been. Guilty. Am I right? I want to pray for you now. If you're going through it, listen, this is what you got to do. If you're not a Christ follower, you're in a mess. If you've gotten away from God, you're in a mess. Let's pray. Father, I ask you now to help us. Lord, I pray for every single person here. I ask you now in Jesus' name to minister to us. You've enlightened us. Now, Lord, let's make it real. I want your heads bowed, your eyes closed. You're going through it. You know you're under attack. You know right now something's going on against your life, against your family, against people. You know that there's an attack on your life, and you're ready to get free from this thing. Would you raise your hand? Let me pray for you right where you're sitting. I see hands everywhere. Hands everywhere. Yes, yes, yes. See? Good. Father, I do. I bless these people now in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray they will draw near to you. Father, as an authority figure in their lives, I command the enemy to leave them. I command that they back off. I command a freedom and a peace come upon them in the name of Jesus Christ. I command, Lord, as they draw near to you, that this enemy must flee. I ask you to send forth your angels and Michael, and that they will battle with Satan and his angels. And Lord God, that Satan and his angels will be cast down. And I ask you right now in Jesus' name to free them from this thing. And let them go forth in victory in the name of Jesus Christ. Head still bowed, eyes still closed. You've gotten away from God. And you know you're not submitted to him. And you know that this is most likely the reason things are going crazy in your life. Or maybe you've never come to him as your Lord and your Savior. And you know you've got to get it fixed. Listen, you don't have a chance. This is the only weapon you've got is Jesus Christ. If that's you, I want to pray for you right where you're sitting. Jesus, through his power, through his ability, Jesus has come to battle for you. And you can have victory. You can have victory. But it's got to be through the name of Jesus Christ. And I'll show you that next week. But if that's you today, you got away from the Lord, you're not where you're supposed to be, and you know you want to get that fixed right now, I want to pray for you right where you're sitting. Just raise your hand right here. I see your hand over here. Any others? Any others? I see your hand right here. Any others? Come on. Don't miss it. I see your hand. Okay. Good. Father, right now I bless these people. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will draw them into the kingdom. That you will draw them right now in Jesus' name. Draw them, Lord God, so that you can cover them, so that you can protect them, so that you can enable them, Lord God, to have a victorious life and not a defeated life. I bless them in Jesus' name. Well, everybody in here, pray with me, and especially of those that raise their hand, pray this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, come into my life in your power and in your glory. I ask you to take control of me by your Spirit as I submit to you. I resist the devil. He must flee. And I release that in my life in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand and give the Lord a shout and a hand clap?